you have many friends who can answer your questions.
Yesterday Annie was talking about, we were talking about metta or friendliness, and in the meditation center she was taught about having metta or loving kindness for oneself. And so of course we were saying actually it's attachment for oneself already. We're experts at attachment to oneself. But I think this is a common way of thinking or teaching, and even I think like in, if you go to see some counselor or advisor in Australia, they will also always say, oh, you need to have more respect or more love for oneself. Would you like to say a little more on this, Annie?
Yes, I suppose I'm trying to understand the idea around the respect and self-worth question, because I feel at the moment that I have struggles with accepting who I am and my self-worth, and wondering how that fits in with the idea of non-self, and because I, when you talk about the attachment to oneself and there's already enough love for oneself, I don't feel that. I don't. So I don't really understand how I'm attached to myself when I don't feel like that. Or
is there attachment to oneself now?
I think there is, yes.
Just thinking is not enough. It must be very precise to really understand any word we are talking about. Like self or oneself, is there I or self at this moment? Or none at all?
I think there is.
Just think. So it's not precise. Where's the I at this moment? See?
Yes, there is.
So it's only the idea and just thinking about everything like we used to think about this and that. But actually, there can be more understanding about whatever appears now, not just think about it. Are you friendly now? See, talking about friendliness, but now, are you friendly?
I suppose not.
Yes or no? So people talk about friendliness, having more and more friendliness, but what is it? See, without understanding that we are talking about, it's impossible to know more, furthermore about that. So what is the self now? If you think that you are not clinging to the self now, or are you?
Yes, I think I am.
To what? What is the self that you are clinging to?
Having to be a certain way.
Like now.
Yeah.
No, you are you.
I don't know.
This is the beginning of understanding whatever appears. Otherwise, there's the purpose of going somewhere and try to have very good time, splendid time, very rewarding. No understanding, even just what appears now, or where's the self now, or is there self now, or is there no self now? See? So when we're talking about friendliness, it's not just the word that anyone can think about it. Be friendly, that's not enough. But what is it? See?
Is it something that I want to portray because I would like to feel loved by others? That's what...
That is natural.
Yeah. Or accepted by others.
For everyone, the same feeling. But what is the understanding? Because the Buddha taught the truth of whatever appears as it is. That is meant the enlightenment. Understanding thoroughly, deeply. As it is, not as we guess or as we used to think about. Even the self, see, it's not clear. When it's not clear, it seems like there's no self, but actually there is the self so much that it's not clear to talk about it. So you went to meditation center to have less attachment and more understanding, or still cling to get something without understanding, see? Yeah. Even clinging is not clear, because without right understanding, who can tell the difference between clinging and being friendly? And that is the self who does not know when there is understanding. Understanding is not anyone. It's a reality which can understand that which hasn't been understood before. That's why we learn, listen, and think over it, whether it's worthwhile, study, developing understanding. So the bhavana, or it's translated usually meditation. What does it mean?
I don't know.
So it begins with no understanding. So it have more and more no understanding or ignorance.
Annie, just before we go too much into bhavana, I think you mentioned yesterday that one of your reasons for going on the retreat was because it seems to take an effort to always be with people and friendly and cheerful, and so it was a way to withdraw, and she particularly liked the silence because no need to sort of have to smile and associate with people.
Yeah. When you think of funny thing, you smile or laugh alone, right? Anywhere.
Yeah.
Even it's the silence, but the story is so funny. So it can condition laughing, a pleasant moment. And what about being friendly in such or a certain place? What about now?
Yeah.
No more. Or what? Or it can be anywhere and anytime.
Yes.
To anyone. That is the development of metta. And what do you do in order to have more metta? There, I mean, retreat to have more metta. What do you do? Not like now? Or what? See, not understanding anything that can be understood anywhere at any time too.
What Sarah was just mentioning was that if we find that being among people is a condition for dosa, and we want to aversion, so that it's an effort to be pleasant, so we just not comfortable for us to be among other people, then
who wants
that's
that?
A reason
who wants
for,
that?
I'm just explaining. And that can be a reason for going to a retreat for some people, because then
if,
they don't have to interact.
Yeah, if so one much. Doesn't have thoughts, that one have loba.
Attachment.
Yes.
Right. So for everyone, there's either attachment or aversion when we're with other people. Not wholesome. Very little wholesomeness. If there was metta, as Ajahn was talking about earlier, that would be wholesome, because it's... it's not attachment, it's not aversion, it's friendliness. So it doesn't really matter whether when we're with other people there is attachment or aversion. The escape from that is not somewhere else where there's no people, but the development of the wholesome quality.
And without understanding, can anyone know whether it's attachment or metta?
So people who seem to be at ease in the company of other people and enjoy that situation, for them it's easy because there's attachment. That's their natural bent.
And earlier Annie was saying that when we talk about self-love or attachment for oneself, that it doesn't seem to her that there is much attachment to herself, because maybe there seems more unhappiness or difficulty or something like this. But we were discussing how even when there is unhappiness or sorrow, actually it's still because of the clinging to oneself.
Is that clinging?
Because you want to be clinging to the idea of you want to be a certain way, or
wanting to be a certain
way, wanting what is seen to be a certain way, what is heard to be a certain way, what is smelt, taste, touching to be a certain way. Thinking of what one would like, how one would like to be. And unhappy when it's not like that, or what one's attached to doesn't last at all. So therefore that is why there's clinging to self, even if, I think maybe I was thinking clinging, it seems like clinging is, it doesn't necessarily mean a positive thing, like clinging as in wanting more self-love, I don't know.
You think that you can be friendly to those around you in the meditation center, right? When they all come out, Do you still have such feeling or being friendly to all of them? Not at the meditation center, but anywhere. Or just only there that you can have such feeling or to be friendly with them. Like you, see, in the meditation, in the meditation center, you are friendly, right? And after that, are you still friendly? After retreat?
Actually, in the meditation center also, can aversions can arise.
Anything.
Yes.
Not different, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, here and there or anywhere. Seeing is seeing.
But it's like going to a center to take a training course, so that it's like go to the school to learn how to write, how to read.
If there is understanding right now, is this place meditation center? No or yes? No. No. Very natural. No rule. See? No time to set friendliness or schedule to study. See? We can talk about whatever appears anywhere, on the train, in the bus, or here. Let's say, seeing itself. Can it be in the train, under the water, up in the sky? Seeing is seeing. So there can be the understanding that at moment it sees, there must be that which condition it arises, or it's arising, to be seeing, not other moment at all. Is that self which sees now? See, is it self? Mm-hmm. So what is it? This is the way to learn to have less attachment to what we used to take for I or thing because of ignorance. Otherwise, there's no way to get rid of the idea of self at all. No matter where you're going, to this or that place, without understanding, ignorance is there. So many people have different sessions. Ordinary life and meditation life by self. As long as there is no understanding of whatever appears now as it is, there is the idea of something. Self, people, things. Close your eyes. What do you see? No one, right? But there's the idea of I am sitting here with many people. But actually, it appears to seeing. The visible object has to be object of seeing. Seeing cannot see sound, it cannot see other thing else, except that which appears at moment of seeing, just that. And after that, there's the idea of something because of memory of the marks, signs, shape and form. And one keeps that idea all the time, but actually it's gone completely. So one lives in the world of ignorance, not knowing what's what in a moment. Because seeing is not thinking. They can be thinking about that which is seen without seeing, like in a dream. no see, but there is thinking about many things, and they seemed like they appeared, but actually only memory of what is experienced. Did you have a dream last night?
Yes.
See, it's not as real as now. It's not as real?
No.
Why?
Because here now, the dream is... When I'm dreaming, I feel like I'm... It's real, though.
But what's the difference between the two?
One is it consciousness? Is it thinking? The other is living real life.
Can anyone see in a dream? Can there be seeing in a dream?
Feels like I'm seeing, but is it just thinking?
See the difference between dreaming and not dreaming at all, like now. Because the visible object appears to see before thinking. But in a dream, there's no seeing.
No
visible object appears, like now. It's only pure thinking. The whole story about this and that. It's like now. When there is no seeing and whisper object, it's like dreaming. Exactly the same. So the difference is that when it's not a dream, there is moment of seeing and whisper object. That's all.
So when I'm awake with my eyes closed, that mm-hmm. is thinking.
Yes, or hearing.
Or hearing.
Or smelling. So anything can be object. But not in a dream. Mm. So it's not you. They are only different realities conditioned to arise. It can be object of understanding when right understanding develops more and more. But ignorance cannot experience that. Because it cannot understand anything, even it's appearing right now. Mm. So we understand the difference between ignorance and right understanding. Mm. So what world have you been living? For quite a long, long time when there is no understanding.
Ignorance.
And the teachings of the Buddha can condition right understanding about whatever appears now, because it's the truth, the truthful words. Nobody can change because it's all about reality right now. So one listens to the teachings or to someone else, see? Have you heard the words Buddhang Saranang Kacchami, Dhammang Saranang Kacchami, Sanghang Saranang Kacchami? And why do you go to meditation center? What for? When you don't know anything about Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, you just believe in someone leading you to somewhere unknown without understanding. So first of all, we should know what does understanding understand. Otherwise, we just talk about understanding. But what does it understand? Not at all. So it's not understanding.
So before we talked about
different kinds of realities, such as seeing an invisible object, seeing which experiences an object, no self-involved invisible object, that which is seen, and hearing sound, different kinds of realities at this moment. So understanding has to understand what is real at this very moment only. And Lan's question is, when I discussed this with her yesterday evening, well, is that enough? Why study the whole Tipitaka in order just to understand what is real now, such as visible object? Is that correct, Lan?
If everything bring back to the to those experiences through one of the six sense door, so is that necessary to study all the Tipitaka?
Just all about daily life, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, clinging, aversion, like, dislike, everything in a day is taught. Otherwise, who knows right now? Is there clinging now, attachment now? Who knows? Is seeing not me? Who knows? So each word should be studied carefully, because it will lead to more and more understanding of the whole Tipitaka. But if there is no understanding of one word, it's impossible to understand more at all. That's the way to understand, not just listen, but to really understand what that word represents. Like, say, it doesn't represent anyone at all, just a reality which is conditioned to see. Without the eye base, can it arise? Can whatever appears now appear? So it's just in a moment. Seeing is conditioned by not just the eye base, but also that which can be seen, which impinged on the eye base to condition the seeing to arise and see it, that's all. Just that. It's gone. Seeing right now is not seeing a moment ago at all. Different conditions, different visible object, which arises and falls away in split seconds. Just consider whether it's true, this moment, like we just talked about. No one there, it's gone completely, like sound and hearing. They are all gone. So it's not I who hear, and what is heard is no one's voice, it's only that which can be heard. This is where to have less and less attachment to what we take for self from birth. Everything is self or something permanent.
So when we talk about clinging
to self and how much clinging there is, actually, of course, there is no self. So it's just clinging to an idea we have of oneself. So really it's clinging to what's heard, to what's seen, to what's smelt, to what's tasted, and to this idea we have that all of this is oneself.
Yeah.
So it's actually clinging to a fantasy, like in a dream.
Without seeing right now, can there be the idea of I see, I am seeing? See? But seeing just arises and it sees, but ignorance takes it for my see or I'm see. But when it doesn't arise, where's the I? Who sees? where there's thinking, it seems like I think, but actually thinking is conditioned. We think differently all the time by conditions, with right understanding, without right understanding, with attachment or with aversion all day, just in a moment, from moment to moment. And now we are talking about the truth of whatever appears now. Taught by the Buddha himself, who had enlightened long, long time ago. But the teaching is still about reality right now, so it can be understood anytime when anyone hears it.
We were having a discussion yesterday evening
a little bit about sati, awareness or mindfulness. And Lam was saying, I think, that you think that there can be awareness of mindfulness and of the arising and falling away of mindfulness. And when I asked what the mindfulness is mindful of, I think you said the present moment. Would you like to say a little more on this?
I think every moment bring back to the moment of experience through one of the six sense doors. So is that like the practice of meditation of mindfulness, which is mindful on what is arise and pass away at the present moment?
It's too soon or early to talk about sati. See, what is that? See?
Sati, as I understand, to know what arises and passes away at present moment. With that is the object, not the object of concept, but the concept, but the object of reality.
Okay. Can it arise without conditions?
No, it cannot arise
without
conditions.
Without the understanding of reality now, can sati arise?
I think sati can arise with even with the object of concept or with the object of
usually
reality.
There is ignorance, not sati. Until right the theoretical understanding or intellectual understanding is firm enough to be conditions for sati to arise. Because sati is also non-self, uncontrollable, like seeing and hearing. But when someone thinking about it, someone would like to have it at will, or do anything to get it without understanding. But without the pariyatti, intellectual understanding, there's no right conditions for sati to arise. That's why we learn to understand step by step, little by little, and don't mind whether what is sati, because even right now, there's no understanding of that which appears, which is not sati. And at moment of understanding the words of the teachings, is there sati with the understanding? See? So there are many levels of sati to be talked about. Intellectual level, or direct understanding, or the penetration of reality as it is, as the right understanding developed with sati, not just sati by itself. Without right understanding, no condition for sati to arise. We just want to have it, try to have it, without any understanding that it's conditioned. And the teachings of the Buddhas is all about detachment. Because whenever there is ignorance, there is detachment. Whenever there is attachment, there is ignorance. So there can be detachment only when there is understanding, not ignorance. Ignorance cannot detached from anything because it doesn't know anything at all. Seeing sees. Ignorance cannot understand that as just a moment of a reality, an element which is conditioned to arise and see, just that, not other thing, not other moment, only see, then it's gone completely, never come back at all. Without this primary understanding, no condition for sati to arise. Because sati has to arise with right understanding when we talk about the sati which can understand whatever appears. It needs to have intellectual understanding. There are many people who do not know anything and they go to the meditation center wishing to understand or to get whatever they think, but no understanding at all.
That's sati, mindfulness, when experience the hardness or the softness.
Now
or
there
the
is
hardness.
Hardness and the experiencing of hardness, is that sati? Is that at this moment of holding the microphone?
Yes.
No. Ordinary experience, the kaya vinyana, the body consciousness, experiences hardness without any understanding, without sati. Like anyone in the world who does not have any understanding of reality, can you say that that person has sati at moment of holding microphone?
Without understanding?
When is dana, sila. But while one is listening to the teachings, at moment of understanding there is sati. Just that level, intellectual understanding, not the direct understanding of our reality which one heard about. So don't rush to do anything without understanding, because it's the self wishing, trying to get something, not to understand and detach from clinging. So the self is there, having more self without understanding. If anyone can have sati without intellectual understanding, it's not according to the teachings of the Buddha. Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. There cannot be Patipatti and then Pariyatti after. Because the meaning of Patipatti, Patti is particular, and Patti is to approach with understanding. Like seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, thinking is thinking, attachment is attachment. This is said, but what is the moment of direct understanding of just one reality at a time? Like now, seeing and hearing, they seem to arise together, but actually different moments, far apart. The conditions for seeing is far away from the conditions for hearing. They're not as close as we think. And when one wants so much to have sati, is that not clinging? But when one knows impossible to have direct awareness without the firm foundation of the intellectual understanding. Because now we know that seeing is not permanent, right? Or is it permanent? It's not permanent. This is very, very weak understanding, because it's gone, arising and falling away all the time. And we just heard that seeing is not permanent, arising and falling away, and it's not hearing, it's not thinking. This is what we learn. Consider, but not direct understanding of moment when seeing arises and see. At that moment of the clear comprehension of that, there is no other thing at all, just one at a time, as it is. No wish to have such experience. It is anatta. When there are right conditions, no one can stop its arising. But when there is no conditions, no one cannot have it to arise at all. Just try very hard, but that is not the direct understanding with detachment. But it's attachment, trying so hard. So instead of understanding, it have more and more idea of self who's trying not to understand, but to get something and think that it's understanding. But it's not. Like now, when Panya develops so great, it can experience with detachment according to the Panya, level of Panya. While the intellectual understanding cannot know just that moment as it is, because there are many things in succession so fast, very rapidly, that it's only thinking about seeing, not understanding the actual moment of seeing. And if one is trying so hard, it's impossible because it's done by attachment and ignorance. Until there is less and less ignorance and attachment, then reality can appear to the developed Panya by itself, naturally, anatta. And that's the moment to understand the meaning of anatta. Have you heard about the subtlety of the Four Noble Truths? All of them. All four. But it seems that it's very easy. Just one to have, and then one goes to somewhere and think that one knows. But when it's known, only when time comes, by conditions.
And you want to ask about what do you mean by conditions?
Yes. Can seeing arise without the eye base, without the visible object? Like the blind, see, it's conditioned, each moment. Hearing, it needs another conditions, not the eye base, but the ear base. And not the visible object, but the sound to impinge on the ear base. And when time comes as the result to experience, the result of karma, the cause which has been done, it condition hearing at time properly. No one can change time and the object for hearing to hear by conditions. And when one learns to understand the anatta-ness, one knows that it's true. That's why all realities are anatta. Not anyone is atta.
Anatta means non-self, and atta means self.
So, Lam, can there be
awareness of the rising and falling away of anything at this moment?
It's a strange thing that awareness it, and any phenomena arise and pass away at present moment is like is in the same way that experience the touching or seeing consciousness or hearing.
Okay, ask Annie if she knows anything at moment of touching. At this moment of touching, is there any understanding of that which is touched and the touching? There is touching many, many times a day, but is there any understanding? Or just learn to know that what is touched is soft or hard, heat or cold. Just learn, but not the direct moment which it appears, to see that it's just that, nothing there, even sound is not there, eye is not there. It's only a moment of experiencing through body, that's all. And that is understanding. But touching right now without understanding can be any moment. So the difference between no understanding and understanding develops. Is quite different. Little by little, stage by stage.
In the past, when touching can mindful that touching on the table, but now after reading, then experience that touching the object that is hardness or softness or hot or cold.
How can there be such understanding?
Once already read about it.
Just read? Or understand, little by little? That's so true. Whenever there is touching, there must be that which is touched. Only that in that very moment, no other thing at all. Learn to understand that even touching is not self, and the object which is touched is also not self. Learn from different time when there is condition to understand. But when there is no condition to understand, it's like ordinary life before hearing anything about the truth at moment of touching.
It's like touching, experience the hardness or softness. And then the idea of the table or the hand, but after that, the moment after that, remind that this is not the table or this is not hand.
So what is it?
So, different moment with...
At moment of touching.
Hardness.
What is touched?
Just touchings.
What is touched? What is the object of touching? What does touching experiences? What does it experience at moment of touching?
The hardness.
Okay. Do you think that it's hard or do you think that it's a table or microphone?
The moment after that.
It doesn't matter. But how can there be the understanding that there is no self who touches?
With the instruction
only through hearing, not direct understanding, which is satipatthana. So don't mind at all about sati or satipatthana. Just develop understanding. And then right understanding can understand, whether it's the direct understanding or it's only thinking over it.
Sometimes I think it might be that thinking that this is softness or this is hardness because
the
already...
The idea, take it for something like sati, but it's only the idea of sati. Not the moment which realizes that sati is not self. It's conditioned, no matter you try so much to have it. It's not the conditions for sati to arise. And there is no right understanding that it sati is anatta. But when there is more understanding about what is taught, then it can condition a moment of sati. And then Panya can see the difference between moment with sati and moment without sati. Otherwise, there is no Panya, only the assumption that it's there. But it's not much different between touching without sati and touching with sati. When it's touching with sati, there must be the understanding that sati is not I. It's conditioned. No selection for time and place and object at all. Like now, see? There's touching. Is there any understanding? Is there conditions to understand it as no self or not yet? Because there must be the understanding of anattaness, of all realities, before there can be a moment of understanding it as just a moment of experiencing no one there. Can anyone go to the meditation center to gain understanding without any intellectual understanding at all? But they go. They don't know what's what. There's thought that that's the way. But it's not, because it's not in the teachings at all to have such level of understanding without intellectual understanding. What is seen now? There is seeing. So what is seen? What object? Pardon? What object?
Lots of objects.
Something?
Yeah, trees.
Trees? Can tree be seen?
Yes. Or will... Is it hardness?
Hardness cannot be seen. So can there is sati without any understanding to develop more understanding from hearing and considering? See? Mm. Even what is seen is not known as it is. Mm. Can there be thinking without seeing?
Yes.
Yes. And can there be thinking after seeing?
Yes.
What's the difference between the two?
One is visible and other is thinking.
Because thinking is thinking and seeing is seeing. Mm. They arise and fall away very closely, which seems like together. But actually, a tree cannot be seen, only visible object, only reality that can be seen. We do not have to call it anything. But whenever there is seeing, it's there, that which can be seen. And after that, there is thinking. And when there is more and more understanding, sati begins to arise very weakly, very little, to understand right now what is seen is just that which can be seen, a reality. No one can condition its arising at all. And it arises and falls away, who knows? But it's true, so it can be proven through the Eightfold Path, one of the Four Noble Truths, which is very subtle. The path is subtle because it is along the way with no attachment. But when there is attachment to gain or to get, it's not the path, because there will be more and more attachment instead of have less attachment. And the teachings of the Buddha is against attachment and ignorance. Otherwise, nothing can eradicate ignorance and attachment at all. Without right understanding, little by little, from hearing and considering, not waiting, not doing, not wanting, not hoping, not doing anything, to have the direct understanding of any reality now to appear. Because it needs its own conditions, which is the understanding, better and deeper, like what is seen now. If there is no beginning to understand, it's only when there is seeing. But without seeing, that which appears cannot appear. So it cannot be a tree, it cannot be anything at all. It's that which can be seen. And where is it? Where is visible object? Without hardness, softness, the four primary rupas, heat and cold, cohesion, can there be that which can be seen? Because actually, even there are four primary rupas, hardness and softness, heat and cold, motion and pressure, and cohesion. There are also other reality arising together. One is that which can be seen when it's impinged on the eye base, and only when seeing arises, it's there. If I take this away, see, the Mahabhuta Rupa is away with the visible object. So visible object is there with the Mahabhuta Rupa here again. And not just the visible object, also smell. Some might not be able to smell, but when it's keen, a reality can smell it when it's strong enough to be smelled. And the taste is there too. Taste it. And then it's just a taste, which can be object of tasting consciousness, a moment of tasting. Otherwise, the taste, even is here, cannot be tasted, like the taste here, everywhere. And another thing is nutrition. That's why we eat. Without this, how can there be less attachment to what we take for something permanent? Never arising and falling away, it seems like aesthetic. Or is here, but actually only panya, right understanding, develops from hearing and considering to know that it's true and it can be proven, it can be understood directly. When right understanding develops, not just when I want sati to arise, to be mindful of this and that, but that's not the path, that's not the way to experience the truth of reality. Only panya, right understanding, develops. So panya is opposite of attachment and ignorance. Can anyone have less attachment with ignorance? See, can anyone have less attachment with ignorance? Impossible. Attachment arises with ignorance. So, without right understanding, ignorance is there, and ignorance cannot have the attachment become less, because it's there together. Do you have attachment from morning up till now, or only a few moments? very few moments, or what? Can you see? After seeing, there is ignorance about seeing. After hearing, there is ignorance. Ignorance and attachment follows moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, unknowingly, because it is not as strong as when one does good deeds, ill deeds, or ill speech. By then, one realizes that it's unwholesome, but unwholesome is there. At moment when whatever appears and that object hasn't fallen away yet, it can condition ignorance and attachment instantly by accumulation. Let time come to appear, it appears. Let time come to arise, it arises. No one can stop. After seeing, there is ignorance. But when there is understanding, it begins to develop. And you don't have to call it sati or anything, but it's different reality from ignorance. Atabai's Buddha taught for 45 years and nobody knows what did he teach about. But he taught about everything. Not just long, long time ago, but even now. It's true. Like seeing is seeing. Tomorrow seeing is seeing, not hearing. Ignorance is there.
Just to clarify, in case Andy's not familiar with the terminology here, when you say that after seeing and hearing there's ignorance of what is seen and heard, you don't mean we don't know what we see or hear, but we mean ignorance.
It depends on whether it's ignorance or attachment or aversion. It can arise after seeing. Or it can be wholesomeness, or it can be right understanding, depending on the accumulation. Like in the time of Buddha, those who had accumulated lots of right understanding, after seeing, there can be a moment of wholesomeness or even kiriyajitta for arahata.
But for us, we know what is seen and heard in the conventional sense, but mm-hmm. there's ignorance of yeah. the reality yeah. of that.
That's why Buddha told us in details about one moment of seeing is followed by what type of citta, what function of citta is there. And there can be javana with kusala or akusala before the rupa or the object which is experienced would fall away. But it's unknown because of ignorance. So one can understand by oneself how much understanding one has. No need to ask anyone. Who can know better than you? So what is the teacher? Who is the teacher? The person who help you to understand, or the one who tell you to do anything without understanding. The Buddha didn't tell anyone to do, but he taught. For the others, the listeners, to understand, to have their own understanding, not follow anyone. If someone is asked to go to the meditation center or retreat, should that person ask what for? To to do or to understand. If it's not for understanding, it's useless to go.
A friend on the discussion list suggested that for some people, if they're in rather desperate circumstances or having a very difficult time, even though there's not going to be any development of understanding, but it may be useful for them to go to a retreat or go to the temple or spend more time with the monks, not necessarily for understanding, but just to have a break or to get out of difficulty or danger, or as Annie suggested, just to have some quiet time or change of circumstances. So I think people have different purposes.
No need to have Buddha's words as refuge, because the people, anyone, can tell you about how. Like when you are thirsty, have this, but you will be thirsty again and again, endlessly. So what's the use? No need to have Buddha then, when there is no understanding. This is the difference between Sammasambuddho and the others, or the other teachers. And who's the great teacher who can help the other to have their own understandings? Not to be told, no understanding at all.
Otherwise it can just, it's like I think the point is it's just like a short-term fix or a drug, just give a temporary solution to get over that hurdle, but then there's going to be another hurdle again and again, and so it's not any real solution because there's no real understanding of what the problem is, what the cause of the problem is, or what the way out of the problem is.
But I suppose on the retreat I went on, it gave me time to reflect on the cause of my problems, and because I was in a quiet place of reflection, I was able to, and away from the busyness of everyday life, I was able to reflect on the causes of some of my problems. So in a way, I felt it was of benefit.
You know what's the cause of the problems?
Mm-hmm.
What is the cause of the problems? If you don't know the cause, how can you get rid of it? Without understanding, there must be problems. Because problems come from what? See?
Self.
And ignorance. Yeah.
And I think you mentioned the other day about
in the quiet place, it seems that it's more suitable for mindfulness and calm, and I think Lan might say the same thing.
Yes.
But then the question is, what is this mindfulness and what is this calm?
Yes. Mm.
Which I understand that in a way, because it's external silence and external calmness. It's not internal.
No understanding, no matter external or internal.
Mm.
So just be the object of attachment, because you like that way.
Mm.
So there's ignorance and attachment all the time.
I went to this retreat also to learn tools to help me with my meditation practice, which I find beneficial in my daily life to bring about a sense of inner calmness, to therefore from that I'm hoping that it will then help my relationship with others.
And more clinging. Better relationship is clinging. Right?
What, hoping for a better relationship with others?
Which you mean clinging?
Perhaps.
What does it mean to have a good relationship with others?
I suppose generosity and giving to others. With no agendas or
I think you mentioned at the beginning of the discussion about how one is perceived by others. Is that part of having a good relationship? Because it's not something we have any control over, is it? I mean,
no, and I think that's my own stuff I can't control. It's more that, I suppose I'm not going to try to have a good relationship with others, because I can try all I want and they may not want to have a good relationship with me. It's more, I suppose, my own, what I can give to others.
You just want better self.
Better oneself.
Right?
Yes, which...
Still yours. Me.
Yeah, wanting something.
Mm-hmm. No understanding that there is no you in reality, absolute reality. So what's better, to understand or just to have what you'd like to have without understanding?
I know, I can see that. It's so... it's just hard to comprehend, I suppose. I'm trying to process it.
What about learning to understand that what appears now is conditioned, or not knowing about it at all? And to cling more and have less clinging, what's better? And clinging will lead to what? Clinging itself will lead to
attachment,
disappointment, because it's not the way you like. You want something permanent and be good, like good self or myself. But actually, there's none which can belong to anyone at all. Seeing arises, it falls away. It does not belong to anyone. The whole life does not belong to anyone at all. It's conditioned to arise and fall away in succession so very rapidly. That's why it conditions ignorance and attachment all the time. But when there's understanding, it begins to see. What's the use of just arising and falling away? Just experience anything without that which can experience. It's not life. Because it seems like there is many things, visual object and sound and everything, but without that which experiences, there's nothing. So So it's not you who experiences. It's just a reality which is conditioned by appropriate conditions only.
Which I understand that, and I do get what you're saying. I still feel though that don't I have to look after myself in this life? Like I have to take responsibility for my actions, and I have to.
You can do anything with right understanding too, not with ignorance like before. It does mean that you would change from ignorance and do nothing, but actually each moment is conditioned. That's why the Buddha's followers were not just priests in the old days, also the lay people too. Panya does not belong to anyone. There must be conditions for its arising. It arises and falls away too. But it develops from moment to moment. And it does not hurt to understand correctly, rightly.
Panya is understanding. Sati, awareness.
Don't I cling to the... Isn't there clinging then when I hope for or I plan for the future, like my what to do when I get home from travelling, I need to find a job and a place to live, and I'm trying to think of things I can do, and I, you know, I have to plan because I need to look after myself, and isn't that then clinging to an idea of what I'd like my life to look like?
What do you say?
I think that,
as Jan just said, however our life goes, whether we go this way or that way, whether we work here or there, actually we think in terms of a whole life and of jobs and work and situation, but actually there are just these different conditioned realities such as seeing and hearing and thinking, and with or without any understanding of realities, there's going to be seeing and hearing and thinking, likes and dislikes, and with understanding there's going to be seeing and hearing and thinking and likes and dislikes, so that thinking, that planning will happen anyway because there are conditions to think in that way. So life carries on just as normal, and the only difference is while seeing, thinking, hearing, smelling, there can be the development of understanding, which understands more that actually, in truth, there are only realities which are conditioned and which don't belong to me or anyone else at all. So it doesn't mean, as she said, that when understanding begins to develop and ignorance reduces, that that means there's less making arrangements, or you no longer go to the Burmese embassy to get a visa or something like that. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means while thinking, while planning, while living one's life, there can be more understanding of present realities. So the present reality is thinking or planning or like or dislike. That is what is real now.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Can you stop thinking?
No.
See? There must be conditions for seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking. Mm-hmm. No one can stop, but it depends on why these people think like this and the other things differently. By conditions, by accumulation. uncontrollable.
So how I find I get easily anxious, like I'm a highly anxious person. I suppose I'm looking for ways to reduce, to learn to reduce my anxiety about the future, about is this something that can help me? Like I'm
all for myself when there is no self.
Yes.
See, it has to be like this as long as there is ignorance. But when there is panya, life is easier than before, because panya never brings trouble. It understands how it happens.
Panya meaning
right understanding.
Oh, right understanding. Yeah.
The best reality in the world. Or not? Right understanding. What is better than right understanding?
So,
yes, see.
So I think it depends on one's accumulations. Like, I'm like you, I can get very nervy or anxious very easily, but no doubt at all in my mind that it's just different kinds of mental states that don't last at all. It's just thinking with worry or unease because of clinging, and it falls away, and it's not my anxiety or not my panic attack or whatever. It's just a conditioned dharma that falls away instantly, and then just forget it's gone already. No need to worry about it or cling about it. So of course there's going to, because there is so much attachment, so much clinging to oneself and how one would like to be, there's bound to be lots of worry, lots of unhappiness. But when it's understood, when it as it arises, as it is, it helps a lot, because that's the way to develop more detachment, instead of clinging more to the idea of, oh, I'm such an anxious person or something like this. So it's conditions. It's conditions that bring about how I feel about certain situations. Is that because the conditions, is that what it means by conditions?
It means that because there is the
tendency or the habit, for example, to be attached to a particular taste, that because of that tendency, that particular kind of attachment often arises, and just as there's a tendency to be anxious about some idea that's thought about, there's a tendency to think in that way because of causes, because of conditions, because that is the habit.
Yes.
But understanding can understand, and no one minds or is concerned about how much seeing there is now or how much attachment or enjoyment there is now. Why? Because there's no unpleasant feeling at those times. But no one likes, everyone asks about the unhappiness or the sorrow or the difficulties or the uneasiness or the panic. Why? Because there's unpleasant feeling. So it's because of the attachment that there is minding so much about the unpleasantness. So it's actually clinging even in between. That unpleasantness is clinging to oneself, not wanting anything unhappy, not wanting unhappy feeling, minding a lot about the feelings. But there can't be happy feeling all the time.
No. Nothing lasts.
At all, happy feeling doesn't last an instant. Unhappy feeling just the same. Seems like, oh, I've been unhappy for a day, but actually it's just a moment and fallen away. And then at moments of seeing or hearing, no unhappy feeling at all.
I have been feeling very unhappy the last couple of weeks, just a general unhappiness. Is that because I've had a moment of unhappiness and I'm clinging to that, because it does seem to me that it is something that hasn't arisen and fallen away. It seems like it's arisen and it hasn't left. But is that because I'm clinging to that unhappiness?
There's been unhappiness in the past. We're not talking about the unpleasant feeling. We're talking about dissatisfaction with the way things are, right? And there's been attachment in the past, there's been aversion in the past, and these tendencies accumulate. And so when they arise again, they arise because they've been accumulated. Mm-hmm. Of course, there'll also be aversion to the aversion. If we're looking for a cause, then I think it's difficult to... Or the conventional explanation is not going to explain the cause, because these tendencies have been accumulated and they are bound to arise whenever there are the right conditions. Like if food that we are attached to is put in front of us, we'll have attachment. Mm. If things aren't going the way we want them to go, then we'll have aversion. Mm. But as Ajahn explains, that there's a difference. The difference is that these things arise and there's ignorance of the real nature of them. And it's only by developing understanding that these tendencies can be ameliorated or eradicated in the long term. Otherwise, we're just trading today's aversion for some attachment or other. There's just the suppression. Mm.
Yes.
So we tend to think that if we could change the way we see things or do things, that would help the situation, but it's not going to change the accumulated tendency.
Mm. And the problem is there may be some unhappy feeling which falls away, and then there's thinking and dwelling on it and the idea of the whole story about poor me who's been unhappy for a whole day. Mm. And actually it's never like that, because in between there's attachment to what is seen, to what is heard, to what is tasted, to the visible object throughout, but there's the thinking and clinging and dwelling on the idea of me who is unhappy.
Mm. Yeah.
What else would you like to have if you have everything? Mm-hmm. No more? Or what?
Always want more. Always
want more. Enough? Or even you have everything, it doesn't really belong to you. You think that you have it in your thought, but actually, does visible object now belong to you? Sound? The body? See? So is there anything else that worthwhile to have rather than have everything that you'd like to have in life? This is the difference between those who have something to think about, what is life worthwhile or not, to just being born, have everything, and then die. Not be this person anymore, even just in split second, when the death consciousness arises and falls away. But there are conditions to for that reality, the reality which can experience an object to arise again and again, like now. Oh, who bring you to this world? Who brought you to this world? How can you know, see, that you'll be here, see, in this world? You call it this world, but in reality, what is the world? No understanding at all. But everyone has to die. With ignorance or with understanding. And what is better? Ignorance or understanding. So it's just like the most precious moment to learn to understand. It doesn't mean that you lose everything in life, the self, everything, just by learning or thinking. It takes time to really understand each word as it is, like right understanding. It's not just anyone say right understanding, so it's right understanding. Not that at all. Understanding what? If it's not this moment which a reality appears, then there's no understanding. If it's not this moment, that which appears should be understood as it is. Like seeing, sees what? See, we, things like we see the world and things, people on the screen of the television, or now, see, the big screen. But actually it's only a visible object with the idea, with ignorance, taking it for something permanent. And this should be developed more than having anything else in the world. Because it can be accumulated from today to other moment in life. While the other cannot follow you or can belong to you at all. Even the body that you take it from, my body, my seeing, my hearing, my thinking, they are all different conditioned realities. Even thinking, no one can control. That's the meaning of anatta, non-self, uncontrollable. Worthwhile talking about the truth? It does mean that you have the understanding of reality right now, very soon. It takes time to really understand what is seen in order to eliminate the idea of something in it, in the visible object. No one, like you're looking in the mirror, someone there, but actually no one there.
Sometimes we talk about how one has to be very courageous to develop understanding and to give up the idea of self. So, for example, if one's having a very difficult time or feeling very unhappy, one has the idea that one needs to do something or go somewhere. But it takes a lot of courage to appreciate that actually the only way out in the long run is development of understanding, and understanding of realities is not self. Do you say a little more about being courageous?
Yeah, because you see what you get from the retreat or meditation center, more attachment to the self. Who can get rid of the self? No one. Only right understanding begins to develop, to see the truth of what appears now. Uncontrollable does not stay. A moment now is not the moment before or the next moment. And no one can imagine how a moment is so short, see. But it's true. To learn to know about realities, absolute realities. Do you have friends? Do you have friends?
Yeah.
Only when there's thinking. Do you have enemy? only when there is thinking. The seeing doesn't have any enemy or friend at all. Seeing just sees, that's all. It arises to see. The function it performs is seeing. No one can change because it is a reality which is conditioned by the ideas and the visible object and other conditions to arise and see. No one there. This is the way to have less attachment, which will bring less sorrow or disappointed. Whenever there is wishing or wanting, what follows?
More sorrow.
See? But you know whatever comes must be by conditions.
Lam, is it true, as Ajahn said, that going to the retreat just leads to more attachment to the self?
Because of no understanding of whatever appears. So the self is there. Or you have less self?
I think the idea of self also arises and pass away at one moment, and it may arise and pass
when?
Away at different other moments.
Yeah, when? When does it arise?
Anytime.
Anyway.
Now. Does it arise?
In between sometimes.
See, we just talk about it, but it can be object of understanding directly, and that we call sati, a reality which can be aware with right understanding. Without right understanding, no way to have awareness arises at all.
Is that there are many conditions for sati.
Certainly.
For mindfulness arise.
Certainly.
One of that is understanding, and one of that can be concentration.
When we talk about satipatthana, right understanding of a reality right now, just one at a time. Not just talk about stories of many realities, but the direct understanding, direct awareness.
Actually, there are many conditions for one to arise, and we cannot know what is the most or the...
Right, right. Because you see that how many vipassana jhanas are there?
Is that 16?
See, everyone can say, see, what is the first one?
Nama rupa parichida.
It's not paccaya, parikahayana, see. That's why there must be the understanding of the characteristic which is not self, which experiences, or that which cannot experience, before there can be more understanding of paccaya or conditions. Later, there must be right understanding of the difference between each one, like this is moment of experiencing hardness, not moment of seeing, experiencing visible object, see. Before knowing or understanding intellectually what are conditions for each one. Why do we talk about conditions? To have the understanding of no self little by little. But when it's not direct understanding, the self is there. So only intellectual understanding cannot eradicate the idea of self at all.
Yes.
So the understanding of anatta is not you who can have awareness, but understanding can see moment without awareness and moment with awareness, when awareness arises by conditions, not I try to have it.
Have the idea or the intention that I try or I do, I practice or I learn, I listen, it's also arise at one moment.
Wrong view, yeah.
It's also arise at, and pass away.
But who
at one
knows?
Moment.
Who knows? The arising and falling away. Ignorance cannot.
Yeah, no, by thinking.
Panya at level of vipassana jhana, not the first or the second, see? stage by stage.